In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I welcome everyone in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I pray that the training will do good in every life.
Amen.
And as the Lord trains us, we'll be people who are teachable.
Amen.
You'll be strong.
Amen.
And when you get to the field, you'll not forget everything you have learned at the training.
Amen.
That amen is low.
Amen.
And the Lord will use you as he's using your father in the Lord in Jesus' name. I learned from the Bible that Elisha had a double portion of Elijah's power. There must be an Elisha there tonight. And the Lord will do it in every life in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this hour. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for our brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers in the Lord. And your goodness upon every life, you've raised us up so that we can do good in your kingdom at this time. And we pray, Lord, that nobody will be a failure in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The calling you have given us will be productive,
amen,
will be profitable.
Amen.
There'll be proof that we're real servants of the Lord in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Empower your people more.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
We're looking at John chapter 21. And from John chapter 21, I'm reading from verse 15, verse 16, verse 17. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they are dying, Jesus says unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He says unto him, Yea, Lord, yes, Lord, that knowest that I love thee. He says unto him, feed my lambs. He says unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He says unto him, Yea, Lord, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He says unto him, feed my sheep. He says unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus says unto him, feed my sheep. Those three verses tell us the mind of Christ concerning Simon Peter, concerning each of the apostles of the Lord that he left behind, and how he came to meet them, to see them. This tells us the mind of the Lord concerning anyone that is called of God, commissioned of God, to do something specific, definite in the kingdom. He's talking about everything he has committed into our hands. You think of Paul the apostle, this is the same question the Lord would have asked. And you think of Timothy, Titus, Philemon, anyone, Aquila, Priscilla, this is the same question the Lord would have asked. Lovest thou me more than these? And once the answer comes, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, this is the same thing he will say. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. As he comes to us tonight, for Peter is no more here, Simon Peter is not going to evangelize the world of today. He's gone. And Paul the apostle is not going to feed the lambs of today and the sheep of Christ today. He's gone. All those apostles and all those leaders, however equipped they were, however fervent they were, however effective they were, they cannot come back today and feed the lambs and the sheep. We are the people today that are called, that we shall feed the lambs and feed the sheep. And it's asking us the same thing before we go on in the service. It's saying every service must be based on love, must be built on love. Every service must be given out in love. You remember the scripture that says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. But you also remember another scripture that says, these three, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of them is, tell me, love. And if whatsoever is not of faith is sin, whatsoever is not of love is sin. Any service we render, any preaching we give, any teaching we give, any action we put forth in the service of the Lord, if it's not of faith, it's sin. If it's not of love, it's sin. That's why the Lord is asking us, it's not just saying, jump up, rise up, keep on running, keep on going. Because if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I don't have love, charity, I'm nothing, like sounding brass, it ain't clean simple. So it's not just jump up and keep on running and keep on preaching and keep on praying and keep on serving and keep on laboring. And if I give my body to be burnt, and I don't have love, it's nothing in the sight of the Lord. And he says, if I have faith to move mountains, and if I have all knowledge, and I have the gift of prophecy, if I don't have love, charity, he says, I am nothing. Therefore, he's telling us that whatever we do in the kingdom, in the church and outside the church, in edifying the church and evangelizing the world, if we're going to do anything, it must be built on love. That's why the Lord is asking us again tonight. And he's saying, Simon, but he's putting your name there, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And you know what had happened to Simon Peter? The Lord had told him that he should pray, lest he will fall into temptation. He said, there's no problem. If it means dying with you, I'm going to die with you. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to die on your behalf. And the Lord said, are you going to die on my behalf? I'm telling you that this day the cock will not crow, but you will deny me three times. He said, no, that cannot be. I know myself. I'm going to die with you if need be. But you know the story. He denied the Lord three times. And now, after the resurrection, but the Lord forgave him because he wept bitterly and he received the forgiveness of the Lord. And with that forgiveness comes a renewal of the commission, a renewal of the great work was to do for the Lord. And so the angel said, don't look for the living among the dead. Go to Galilee and tell his disciples and Peter in particular that he will meet them there. And he met them and he said, peace be unto thee. But now Peter was not sure. Yes, he has forgiven me. How about the commission? He said he'll make me a fisher of men. Is that still valid? And so he said, I go a fishing. There's no point saying, I'm waiting for, you know, the commission again. I'm waiting for the work again. I've blown it. I've turned back. Although he has forgiven me, I don't know whether the work is still there for me, whether the assignment is still there for me. And so I go a fishing. And the rest of those other people too, if Peter is not going to preach, why are they going to preach? If Peter goes a fishing, I bought them too. And they said, we also go with thee. And that night, they caught nothing. I pray you'll not miss the call of God. Check up. Anytime God calls anyone, if he abandons that call for any reason, and he goes a fishing, he catches nothing. He goes back to the poverty of the past. He goes back to the failure of the past. And he goes back to the nothingness, emptiness of the past. And so they caught nothing. And Jesus came to them and said, cast your net over there on that side. And they did. And they caught so much. In fact, they caught so much big fish. They started counting 1, 2, 3, up to 153. And they put it aside. And then Jesus had even made some food for them. And he said, come and dine, come and eat. After the feeding, Christ said, Peter, look at me and look at your fish. Look at me and look at your net. Look at me and look at what you have produced and look at what you have got from the sea. Look at me and look at 153 pieces of fish. Lovest thou me more than all these? Are you going to carry them to the market? Are you going to distribute them to the dealers? Are you going to begin a new business of fishing when I have souls for you to reach? Lovest thou me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know, I love you. With whatever happened, I love you. In spite of finding me here at the seashore, I love you. In spite of the fact that I went to brush up my net and I went to clean up my net and I picked the net again, in spite of it all, I love thee. Feed my lambs then. Drop this net. Forsake these sins. If you love me more than these, get away from them and be singular in your heart and your love. And follow me through and do my work and my work alone. Not my work and fishing. Not my work and marketing. Not my work and another thing. Not me and also money. Not me and also commerce. Not me and also fishing. Not me and also another thing. Center your mind, your heart, your will, your purpose, your drive, your skill, your ability, everything you have on me. Feed my lambs. But Simon, son of Jonas, you must tell me, lovest thou me? I'm not comparing now with these fish. I'm not comparing now with whatever it is, your net. Just single-mindedly, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, lovest thou me? Whatever will happen, the wind will blow, the storm will come, persecution will come. They will still ask you again, a maid may come to you and ask, you must be one of them, you must be one of his followers. When those things happen, in the heat, in the sunshine, in the rain, whatever you come across, whatever comes across to you, tell me, Simon, lovest thou me? Yes, Lord. I'm searching my heart. I'm looking at my purpose for living. I'm looking at my background. I'm looking at the reason why I failed that time. I can give you an answer now, Lord. Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Simon, Peter, lovest thou me? What sheep? The mountain is high. What if the road is rough? What if you are misunderstood? What if the Pharisees and the Sadducees will grab you after I'm gone up to heaven? What if the persecution will be intensified? Simon, what if the fire will burn? What if the river will be so deep you cannot even swim it out? What if it will be so wide you cannot cross to the other shore? What if they will handle you like they handled me? They nailed me to the cross. And now what if they will catch you like they caught me? What if there'll be a Judas that will be a betrayer of your life? And exactly what happened to me will happen to you, because that's the reason why you said you were not part of my disciples the other time. What if that same crucifixion will happen to you? What if when you were young, you went the way you wanted to go, but now as you are getting older, they will hold your hand and drag you to where you are not thinking you will go? What if the unthinkable, the unpredictable, what if it happens to you? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he took a deep breath. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know my state of mind now, and you know my state of mind some days ago when I said I didn't know you. You know the difference. You know the bitter cries. You know the repentance. You know I came back. You know I've made up my mind now. Let the sky fall. Let the fire burn. Let the sea roar. Let the lions come out in their multitude, all the lions in the den. Let there be a resurrection of the persecution of Herod or Pharaoh or anyone. I've considered it. I've laid my life on the line. Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. And that's the same thing he's bringing to us today. He's saying, consider. Look at the past and look at the present and look at the future. Look at what you have, look at what you don't have. And look at the demand of the ministry and the sacrifice and the service the ministry will demand. And he's saying, as you look at everything, as you gauge everything, and as you try to look at everything you want to commit into the work of the Lord, lovest thou me more than these? I believe you can answer yes, Lord. Somebody there, I said you can answer yes, Lord. You see hearing your answer, I said you can answer yes, Lord. You know all things. Say it, you know all things. You know that I love you. On that basis, on that grounds, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. Tonight we're looking at the message, loving the Lord and feeding his people. Loving the Lord and feeding his people. Loving the Lord and feeding his people. Three things, as usual, we're going to consider. Number one, focusing on loving him more as the ultimate test. The ultimate test. The test of our devotion. The test of our conversion, the test of our consecration, the test of our willingness, the test of the reality of our calling, focusing on loving him more as the ultimate test. Number two, feeding his lambs more. We've been feeding them, want to feed them more. Feeding his lambs more as our unceasing task. Unceasing task. The task we always commit ourselves to. And the task we bring to the front burner. The task we make number one. The task that is not going to have any rival. The task that is always going to be in the forefront of any other activity in our lives. Feeding his lambs more as our unceasing task. Number three, filling the Lord's people more with unalterable truth. Filling the Lord's people more with unalterable truth. We come to point number one. Focusing on loving him more. That's the ultimate text. We're coming to John chapter 21. I'm reading from verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus says unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You want to put the emphasis on that word, more. More than these, do you love me more than these, what we see on ground? All these pieces of fish, do you love me more? To start with, How will the Lord demand that we love him more? Look at 1 John chapter 4 verse 19. 1 John chapter 4, reading from verse 19. In verse 19 it says, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. And so if the Lord Jesus Christ is demanding, lovest thou me more than these? There must have been the understanding and the concept in his own heart. I love you more than these, so you need to love me more than these. What will that mean? Jesus loved us more than angels in heaven. More than angels in heaven. He loved us. How do we say that? When the angels sinned, he didn't offer to save them. He didn't offer to die for them. Look at Jude chapter 1 verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. The angels that sinned, he didn't offer to save them. He didn't say, I'll sacrifice for them. He didn't say, Father, forgive them. I'm going to be their substitute. No. But when man sinned, Jesus Christ, because of his love greater than the love he had for angels, he said, I'll die for them. I'll die for them. Nobody took his life from him. He laid down his life himself. And because he loved us more than angels, that's why he's saying, look at me. I love you more than angels. Do you love me more? Number two, he loved us more than his heavenly uninterrupted comfort. He was in heaven from all eternity. Comfort, peace, joy, and everything was all right. And then man sinned on earth. And Jesus said, I love him more than my comfort, my uninterrupted comfort in heaven. I'm going to the world and I'm going to die for sinful humanity. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 21. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not again, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. He loves us, and he loved us more than heavenly comfort. Number three, he loved us more than the wealth and riches in glory. He possessed all things. He had all things. And it says that he left his riches in glory. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'm reading here from verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Reading from verse 9. It says in verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that she through his poverty might be rich. Consider the wealth of Christ in heaven. Consider his riches in glory. And he left all that, and he came to this world to die for you, to die for me. He loves us more than the wealth and the riches in glory. That's the reason he's asking, do you love me more? I love you more than everything. Number four, more than his eternal, unstained beauty. Beautiful, beautiful. The beauty of heaven, and the beauty of Christ, and the glory of Christ. And then he had been unstained. He had been completely wonderful. And he had been completely above anything you can behold his splendor. his preciousness that he had. And he says, I left all that. You know why? Because I love you more. I love you more than even the heavenly, eternal, unstained beauty and glory. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. And I'm reading from verse 2. Isaiah chapter 53. We're reading from verse 2. It says in verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form, no comeliness. This is now when he came to the world. He had form, he had comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Is the desire of all nations. He had been the desire of all nations, beautiful, and is the epitome of beauty in heaven. He left all that. You know why? He said, I love you more than my beauty in heaven. But now he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. Number 5, he loved us more than earthly honor. Earthly honor. You would have thought that when he came to this world, the whole world will honor him. He came unto his son received him not. But to them that received him, believed on him, he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to those that believed on his name. We're told in Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 6. Philippians chapter 2, reading from verse 6. So being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He loved us more than earthly prestige, more than earthly honor. And because of that, he says, Simon Peter, and of course, talking to you and talking to me, talking to everyone, I love you more than everything in heaven, everything on earth, everything in the whole universe. Since I love you more, are you going to respond? Lovest thou me more than these? Number 6, he loved us more than the material world and the universe. More than the material world and the universe. And look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 16. Colossians 1, verse 16. For by him were all things made, the material world, all the planets, the whole earth, everything visible and invisible, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principalities or powers. Look at this. All things were made by him. Tell me the rest. And for him, and for him. Everything was made for him. When he came to this world, do you remember Matthew chapter 8, verse 20? Matthew chapter 8. We're looking at verse 20 now. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, Jesus says unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He had no accommodation personal. Not a single room to himself. Not a single mansion to himself on earth. And yet, the material world was made by him and for him. He loved us more than the material wealth and world and the whole universe. He loved us more than his supreme and glorious authority. Supreme and glorious authority. He had all authority before he came to this world. He abandoned that. He left that. He left his position in heaven. He left his authority in heaven because he loves us more than all that glory, than all that authority. That's why he says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Matthew chapter 20, and we're looking at verse 28. It tells us here, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. He left that, that authority, that position, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Because of the love, he now came to give his life a ransom for many. John chapter 17. John chapter 17 was about to go back home now, go back to the Heavenly Father, go back to heaven. Look at what it says. John 17 verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He had abandoned that. But now, as he was going back to heaven, he said, Father, there will be a kind of restoration now, back to that authority, back to that glory. You know what the Lord is saying? He's saying, I loved you more than angels in heaven. I loved you more than my heavenly, uninterrupted comfort in heaven. I love you more than all the wealth and the riches in glory. I loved you more than my eternal unstained beauty. I loved you more than all earthly honor. I loved you more than the material world and the universe. And I love you more than my supreme and glorious authority. The question now is, lovest thou me more? Are you going to respond to my love? And are you going to love me more without any argument, without any controversy? He deserves that we love him more. He demands that we love him more. He deserves that we love him more. How? Which you must love him more than material gain. Look at this. John chapter 21. I'm reading from verse 3. John chapter 21, verse 3. Simon Peter says unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, and 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And as Jesus looked at the fish, 153 in number, he now says, so when they had died, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these, more than material gain? The question comes to you. Are you going to abandon the work of God for overtime? Lovest thou me more than that overtime? Are you going to abandon the work of God for double jobs? Lovest thou me more than that second job? Are you going to abandon my service for there is a, you know, kind of a business overseas, and I want to pursue that because, you know, in this economic recession time, if I can go there, I'm going to make a lot of gain. Lovest thou me more than material gain? It's looking at what you want to buy and sell. It's looking at the marketing. It's looking at the pieces of material things you are putting on the ground, and you want to carry that, and now there's no time to feed the lambs, and there's no time to do the work of God. Lovest thou me more than material gain? And great will be the opportunity for the man, great the opportunity for the woman that can say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my might, more than business, more than profession, more than work, more than money, more than material things. Yes, Lord, I love you. But if you're still struggling with that, look at the fish. and look at the marketing, and look at the business opportunities, and you cannot give up. You cannot give up a material sin. You cannot give up the pieces of fish. You cannot give up the gain. You cannot give up the profession. And when your profession contradicts or comes contrary, a kind of collides with the work and the calling of God upon your life, you cannot say, yes, I give it up. Yes, I give it up. Because yes, Lord, I love you more than all these things. Then you cannot feed. It's not just a matter of saying, I know some verses of the Bible. I know some scriptures. I'm ready. I'm going to go out now in my spare time, in the fragment of time I want to give, in the little time I want to surrender. I'm going to feed the lambs. No, not at all. It's not looking for fragment. It's looking for your whole heart and your whole mind. It's looking for everything you've got, and he wants you to answer the question, lovest thou me more than these, before you can reach out and say, I'm going to feed the lambs. Not only that, number two, you love him more than personal, private opinion. You see, there are people that, well, yes, I love the Lord, yes, I love the Lord, but they're so strongly opinionated. And that opinion, once anything contradicts that, once anything goes against that, then they cannot really love the Lord. They cannot give themselves fully to the Lord. You know, they didn't take my opinion. They didn't take my idea. They didn't take my ideology. They didn't take, you know, what my suggestion. And since they didn't take my suggestion, and since they didn't take my opinion, what are you thinking about? How am I going to be serving the Lord? They're discouraging me because they say that my opinion do not matter. They love the opinions more than the word of Christ. And Jesus is asking, lovest thou me more than your personal, private opinions? It tells us in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, I'm reading from verse 15. It says in verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Forget that opinion, forget that idea, forget that suggestion. If you love me, forget yourself in my love and keep my word. Look at it in verse 21. In verse 21, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be Lord of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. He'll forget his opinion. He'll forget his suggestions. He'll forget his desires. He'll forget this what I like, this what I love. You'll forget about all that, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Look at verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my words. He's holding to tradition, he'll not keep my word. He's holding to his opinion, he'll not keep my word. He's holding to his own ideology, he'll not keep my word. He's holding to what he wants and what he desires, he'll not keep my word. Because he does not love me. The Lord is asking you, lovest thou me more than your personal private opinions? Number three, lovest thou me more than family relations? More than family relations. You know, there are people, they have their, you know, so strong ties with their families, and if their families frown at even being born again, they're shaking. They're shaking. My family does not like being born again. And if their family says, hey, look at our traditional church, and look at the church where our father, our mother, and you know, their grandfather, grandmother, look at the church they were going, and you find this born again church, and this a deeper, higher church, and you forget and you forsake our, you know, family church. They cannot stand that. They cannot stand that, because they're so attached and they're so associated and they're so affiliated with the family. But look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, I'm reading from verse 37. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The question is, lovest thou me more than your father? More than your mother? And then he goes on, he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. There are people that, oh, my son doesn't like the church, and so I cannot go to that church. My daughter does not accept a deeper life just so, because my daughter does not accept, so I cannot be. And my relatives, they do not like, they say I can go to deeper life, but I should not be a worker. That the commitment there is too much. The demand there is too much. So don't go there. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me more than your father? More than your mother, more than your son, more than your daughter, more than the family. That's what the Lord is asking. He wants us to love him more than material gain. He wants us to love him more than personal private opinion. He wants us to love him more than family relations. He wants us to love him more than money, gold, and silver. Lovest thou me more than money, more than gold, more than silver? Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, I'm reading from verse 72. Psalm 119, verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Than thousands of gold and silver. Maybe you need to put there than thousands of pounds and dollars, than thousands of euro and naira. It says, I love your word more. I love your service more. Look at verse 127 in Psalm 119, verse 127. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. And that's what the Lord is asking you. Lovest thou me more than gold, more than jewelry? Lovest thou me more than fashion? Lovest thou me more than worldly dressing? Lovest thou me more than money? Lovest thou me more than currency? It says, therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, verse 128, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. It's asking, lovest thou me more than earthly treasure, more than earthly possession? It tells us in Matthew chapter 13, I'm reading from verse 44. Matthew chapter 13, reading from verse 44. It tells us, Christ himself again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has taken, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, and who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. That's the kind of love he wants us to have, that you find this heavenly treasure, and you find this Christ, and you find this appeal of great price, and you say, I'll give up every other thing for it. The opportunity of serving the Lord, the opportunity of helping in kingdom work, the opportunity of serving Jesus Christ and bringing souls into the kingdom, expanding the kingdom, enriching the kingdom, edifying the kingdom, and the opportunity of evangelizing so that I can do something to contribute to the progress of the kingdom. I'll sell all, I'll give up all just for that. That's what the Lord is saying. That's why I was asking, is there anything in your heart, Peter, Simon Peter, is there anything in your life, Simon Peter, that competes with my love? Or do you love me more than earthly treasure and earthly possession? Do you love me more, Peter, than the present comfort and convenience? Present comfort and convenience. In 1 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 1, Reading from verse 6. It tells us in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold trials, temptations, and testings. And you know, if Peter was considering, I don't think I want to suffer, you know, even though I'm a delicate man, and any kind of pain that comes, any kind of challenge that comes, any kind of rejection that comes, I cannot handle that. And so Christ, if you want to make use of me, you must protect me from every problem, and protect me from every wind that blows, and protect me from, you know, the burning trial and temptation. He says, no, I love you more than all that trial. I love you more than my convenience and my comfort. He says in verse 6 that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. It says it might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yes, I love you more. I love you more. Whatever comes, whatever goes, whatever is coming and is going to bring discomfort or is going to bring inconvenience, whatever it is, I love you more than present comfort and more than present convenience. Number 7, I love you more than all the dwellings on earth. I love you more than all the dwellings on earth. And we come to Psalm 87, verse 2. Psalm 87, I'm reading from verse 2. Here is the attitude of the Lord himself, and here is what the Lord wants us to have as our attitude as well. Psalm 87, I'm reading from verse 2. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. There are some people that have good accommodation, a wonderful mansion, and then when they look at their house, they look at their garden, they look at the swimming pool there, they look at this, they look at this, and it says, you know, how long am I going to live to enjoy all this if I take time out and I'm following up somebody somewhere and I'm, you know, reaching out somewhere and going to the street corner somewhere and chasing those people, come to the Lord, come to the Lord, and I go to where there are mosquitoes and everything. No, I leave the comfort of my beautiful mansion. No, I cannot do that. They do not love the Lord more than all the dwellings on earth. But the Lord is saying, lovest thou me more? Lovest thou me more? He wants us to show that love. We're coming to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, the kind of love he wants us to manifest. The kind of love he wants us to demonstrate. The kind of love he wants us to put in place, and every time, every day, we're manifesting that love and we're checking up ourselves. When something comes to compete with that love, what am I going to choose? Am I going to choose the work of God? Am I going to sacrifice? Am I going to feed the lambs? Am I going to do the will and the work of God? Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Because I remember my covenant and my vow. I love the Lord more than all these things. I pray you will love the Lord. Let me hear a good amen. Amen. A vibrant amen. Amen. The amen of the people that love the Lord above anything and everything on the face of the earth. Amen. Point number two now. Point number two now. This is feeding his lambs more as our unceasing task. We're coming back to John chapter 21, and I'm reading from verse 15. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they are dying, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He says unto him, yea, Lord, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He says unto him, everybody tell me out aloud, feed my lambs. Verse 16, it says unto him again, the second times, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He says unto him, yea, Lord, yes, Lord, that knowest that I love thee. He says unto him, everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Feed my sheep. In the verse 17, it says unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he says unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus says unto him, everybody, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Feeding the lambs more as our unceasing task. As our unceasing task. Now, what does it mean to feed? Exactly that. That's what it means, to feed. You're feeding their souls. You're feeding their spirits. You're feeding their lives. And you're feeding them with the knowledge of the word of God. This is the bread of life. This is the living bread that will make their life come on and make their life resurrected, make their life come to have the risen power of the Lord. We feed them not with opinions, not with ideas. We feed them not with motivation. We feed them with the word of God, the bread of life. Look at Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. Feeding the lambs, feeding the lambs. It says, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you, tell me, with knowledge and understanding. With knowledge, knowledge of the Savior. Knowledge of salvation, knowledge of forgiveness, knowledge of redemption. Feed them with knowledge, knowledge of the mercy of God. Feed them with knowledge, the knowledge of the truthfulness and the faithfulness of God. Feed them with knowledge, the knowledge of repentance and faith in Christ. Feed them with knowledge, knowledge of restitution, knowledge of righteousness. Feed them with knowledge, knowledge of being born again. Feed them with knowledge, the knowledge of what takes them to heaven. The knowledge of what shall I do that I will inherit eternal life. The knowledge of what it takes that their names will be in the book of life. The knowledge of what it takes that they will understand the way of the Lord. It says we feed them with knowledge and we feed them with understanding. We're looking at Jeremiah chapter 23 and I'm reading from verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 23 and we're looking at verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 1. It says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. The people were to feed us are the people of God, the sheep, the lambs. It says, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, says the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries whither I have driven them, and bring them again to them, to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and they shall increase. Somebody said amen. Amen. Look at verse 4 now. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. You feed them with knowledge. You feed them with the truth. You feed them with the gospel. You feed them with manna coming from heaven, and they shall fear no more. If you feed them well, they will not fear. Am I born again? Am I not born again? They will have assurance. They shall fear no more. Am I forgiven? Am I not forgiven? They will fear no more. Am I still going to go through to judgment? Or is the judgment laid upon Jesus Christ? If you feed them, they will not be afraid of future judgment. If you feed them, they will not be afraid of Satan, afraid of sorcerers, afraid of witches. If you feed them well, they will not be afraid afraid of powers of darkness. If you feed them well, there'll be no fear, because you feed them with words, the word of God, and the word of assurance, and the word of faith. And it says, they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, says the Lord. They will not be lacking. I said they will not be lacking. Obviously, then that means to feed them with the words of faith. Because when you feed them with the words of faith, then they will not be lacking. They will not lack anything, because they believe the Lord. They believe that if they will pray, whatsoever they will ask from the Lord will grant unto them. And you so feed them that they are not lacking in anything. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And I'm reading here from verse 20, Isaiah chapter 30, and we're reading from verse 20. Here it says, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. It means that, you know, you as a teacher, a brother, teacher, a sister, teacher, they will see you. It will not be like, you know, the adversity is there and they cannot see their teacher, and the problems are there, they cannot see their teacher, and the scarcity is there, they cannot see their teacher, and the confusion is there, they cannot see their teacher. It says the teachers will not be remote to a corner, and then ear shall hear a word behind this saying, this is the way. That's what the teachers will do. That's how they'll guide those lambs. That's how they'll guide the sheep. That's how they'll guide those people into the way of the Lord. Here is the way, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. And it tells us here in verse 23, it says, then shall he give the rain of thy seed. Now thou shalt sow the ground withal, and the bread for the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. Zephaniah chapter 3, Zephaniah chapter 3, I'm reading here from verse 13, Zephaniah chapter 3, and we're reading from verse 13, Zephaniah, that's near to the end of the Old Testament, Zephaniah chapter 3, and we're reading from verse 13. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 13, look at what it says. It says in verse 13, the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For because they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Now, if you know anything about the new converts, if you know anything about the lambs, they have been having problems in the past with deception and with lying, and they were sin and with iniquity. And now you tell them, repent and be born again. Repent and be converted. They repent and they are converted, and they come to know the Lord. And you see, Christ said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come into him, and I will abide with him and sup with him and fellowship with him. And Christ is now on the inside. As you're feeding them, you assure them the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity. They will not continue in sin, nor speak lies. They will not continue in their lying. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, because they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Another amen. Why do people lie? They lie because they are afraid. They lie because they are afraid. But they will not be afraid anymore. They are not afraid of any man. They are not afraid of, you know, what they have done in the past, because they know now they are forgiven. They are not afraid of the future. They are not afraid of a man, a woman, a child. Or they are not afraid of anything, thinking that, you know, if I tell the truth, there ain't something bad, a calamity will happen. No, they are not afraid of that anymore. And because there is no fear in them anymore, there's no reason to tell any lies. We're coming to Amos chapter 8, and I'm reading from verse 11. Amos chapter 8, I'm reading here from verse 11. In Amos chapter 8, verse 11, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. There's a famine in the land, and this is the time when people, they run here, they run there, they cannot find the word of God. And if we don't get to those lambs, if we don't get to those new converts, if we don't get to those people, the famine in the land will not help, will not help. There's a famine of hearing the word of the Lord in the land. Look at verse 12. For they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it. So you cannot say, well, if I don't get to them, other people will get to them. If I don't get to them, even if they go back to their churches where they came from, and I'm not able to reach them, the churches where they came from, at least they're mentioning the name of God, they're mentioning the name of Christ. It says, no, they will not be fetched there, and they will not grow there, and they will not be developed there, because even though people go to and fro, they will not find the word of God. But as you reach out to them, they will be fetched. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. I'm reading from verse 26. Acts chapter 20, and I'm reading from verse 26. Wherefore, I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You see, Paul the Apostle, when those converts were won, when those new churches were planted, he taught them. He taught them from A to Z. He taught them from repentance to faith in Christ to restitution to righteousness. He taught them to water baptism. He taught them about the Lord's Supper. He taught them about one man and one wife. He taught them about righteousness unto the Lord. He taught them about bringing forth the fruit of repentance. He taught them about without holiness no man shall see the Lord. He taught them about one man, one wife, until death do us part. He didn't say, well, they're new converts, they shouldn't know about restitution. How about that? Luke knew about restitution as a new convert. I wouldn't tell them now about this and that marriage because they're just new converts. How about that? Jesus told those Pharisees who are not even born again yet. He said, for this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, and what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. He taught his own disciples. He said, I've not taught you other things. When the Holy Ghost comes, he'll teach you other things, but I've taught you the basic. And the basic, he taught them about the rapture, he taught them about the great tribulation, he taught them about the coming again, he taught them about hell, he taught them about heaven. And Paul the Apostle said, I have not shunned, I've not neglected to declare unto you the counsel of God. He now says in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to do what? Tell me out aloud. To feed the church of God. Feed the church of God. Look up here. You know, there are people, maybe you were pastors and were leaders and were shepherds, and we don't prepare very well. Some people, they don't prepare very well when they go to their local church. Let me ask you a question. You're a man, you're a pastor. What if your wife did not take very much time, did not take time? You know, my husband, I'm very busy. I cannot, you know. They have to think ahead in feeding us. And they have to plan ahead in feeding us. And they have to go all the way to the market, wherever it is, and buy all that is needed. And they have to think about balanced diet. They have to think about even the fruit and all the other things they give us to eat so that we can maintain a balanced life, a strong life, and a healthy life. What if your wife feeds you the same way you are feeding the church? Will you be healthy? What if your wife will just make the same food every time? the same food every time, will you be healthy? What if your wife is not thoughtful? What if your wife is not a kind of active? What if she will not do everything it takes? And then when she serves the food on the table, what if the table is not well laid? What if the plates are not all right? What if, flies are here and there? What if even the food is good, but the environment is not good? The same thing, think about it. If your wife was to feed you like you are feeding the church carelessly, like you are feeding the church thoughtlessly, like you are feeding the church with the same diet every time, how healthy would you be? How healthy will the church be? Therefore it says, wake up and take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, the men and the women, all the flock, the young and the old, all the flock, the sheep and the lambs, to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. We will do it. And we'll do it well. And we'll do it better. First Timothy chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 15. First Timothy chapter 4. And I'm reading here from verse 15. It says in verse 15, meditate upon these things, all that we're learning. All that we are learning, meditate on them. When you go back to your local church, meditate on this. When you reach out to those new converts, meditate on this. When you are following up on the lambs and on the sheep, meditate on this. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself holy to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. We will do it. First Peter chapter 5, what the Lord told Peter. Peter is now passing it back to the church and back to everyone. First Peter chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 2, tell me. Say that again. What's Peter telling us? What did the Lord Jesus tell Peter? And what's Peter now passing across to us? Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, and not for filthy lucre, not for covetous, not for greed, but of a ready mind. We will do it. I will do it. You will do it. You'll do it like I'm doing it. It'll not be, making it something scanty. People wonder, why does the GSRI read all those verses of the scripture? So that you will know that it's not my opinion I'm giving to you. I'm giving you the word of God. The same thing you'll go back to the church and do, and the same thing you'll go back to your converts and do. Can I remind you, when you look at the gospel according to St. Luke, do you remember that gospel? I can't hear you. Who was that reaching to? Theophilus. Think about that's follow up. That's follow up. Luke was going to write something to a convert, a single convert. And he took it from chapter 1 to chapter 2, all through to chapter 24. And then later now was going to write Acts of the Apostles. Who did he write Acts of the Apostles to? To Theophilus. And he was going to write about the history of this so that this new convert will be solid. And this new convert will know what he ought to know. And he wrote 28 chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, and he gave every detail, every minute detail. That's what we ought to do, to make sure that the word of God is enriching the life of the people. The word of the Lord is making the people strong. You will do it as I'm doing it in Jesus' name. I'm coming to point number 3 now, filling the Lord's people more with unalterable truth. Filling the people, and filling them more with the unalterable truth. I'm coming to John chapter 21, and we're reading from verse 15. John chapter 21, I'm reading here from verse 15. It says, so when they are dying, Jesus says unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, commands, lovest thou me more than these? And more than these, he says unto him, yes, Lord, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He says unto him, everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Feed my lambs. They belong to him. They belong to him. You love him with the love you have for Jesus, then you feed his lamb. Look at verse 16. It says unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said, yea, Lord. He said, yea, Lord, and thou knowest that I love thee. He says unto him, tell me, feed my sheep. Look at verse 17. It says unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he says unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he says unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus says unto him, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. We fill the people with the knowledge of the word of God, not with, you know, current affairs, and not with things that will not profit anybody anything. In John chapter 6, John chapter 6, I'm reading here from verse 26. John chapter 6, verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily I say unto thee, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. But look at this now. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. What are we to feed the people with? Experiences that will endure unto life everlasting. Salvation unto life everlasting. Sanctification unto life everlasting. The power of the Holy Ghost unto life everlasting. Strength unto life everlasting. Perseverance, how they will persevere and continue with the Lord unto life everlasting. Labor not for the meat that perishes, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For him as the Father sealed. It tells us in First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, and we're reading from verse 1. First Peter chapter 2, reading from verse 1. It tells us in verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 2, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that she may grow thereby. We give them the milk of the word so that it will strengthen them. It will make them grow. It will build a strong foundation underneath them. They desire the sincere milk of the word. What to make sure that will remind them, now that they are born again, now that they're children of God, they lay aside all guile, they lay aside all malice, they lay aside every form of hypocrisy, they lay aside envies, they lay aside all evil speaking. And then there should be a desire in them to have real sincere milk of the word. Look up here for a moment. Let's say you visit a restaurant and you go to eat there, and the food is not really inviting. The food is not really very good. And because you are paid only for that time, you say, I'm going to eat this one. Will you come back? If you give the word of God to the new converts, I'm following up, and you are dull, and you are weak, and what you are giving out, that dry muscles, it doesn't have any encouragement, it doesn't have any assurance, you are not interested yourself, you are not excited yourself. They told us to do this, and so I'm coming. You are born again, you are a child of God now. Okay, every day when you wake up, you must read your Bible. Because when you read your Bible, it will make you strong. Temptation will come. As the temptation comes, if you are not reading your Bible, you will fall. You will go to hell. And when you go to hell, you cannot blame anybody. It's you, your carelessness. You hear? And then you must pray every time. Pray. Pray. Not 5 minutes. Pray every time. If you do that, and Jesus is coming, he may come today, he may come tomorrow. I've made up my mind. I'll be ready. I hope you'll be ready. If I don't see you in heaven, I know that you're backslid. Bye-bye. When you are coming next time, the newcomer will say, my teacher is coming. Welcome. Tell me. No, they must desire the sincere milk of the word. The way you preach, the way you talk, the way you open the Bible, the way you love them, and the way you present the word of God, it's like you love the Bible yourself. You love the author of the Bible, and you know that this is your strength. And the way you carry yourself, when you read that Bible, he says, I want to read the Bible like him. I want to read the Bible like her. And after you've gone, everything you've gone through, if you do it systematically, if you do it excitingly, he'll be looking at that, and he'll be strong. Your compass will be strong in Jesus' name. They will desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow, thereby they will grow in Jesus' name. I'm coming now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm reading here from verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm reading here from verse 2. It says in verse 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I have fed you. Paul the apostle was so confident. He was not doubting. Did I feed them? Did I not feed them? What material did I give them? And how did I help them? I have fed you. He said, I have fed you. You are saved. I have fed you. You are brought into the fellowship of the saints of God. I have fed you. You are not behind in any of the gifts. I have fed you. I've revealed the truth unto you. I have fed you. I've told you everything. And now I know the word I've given you will make you strong. And the word I've given you tonight will make you strong. I said you'll be strong. Your backbone will be strong. Your heart will be strong. And your personality will be strong in Jesus' name. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Think about that. He said everything he told the Corinthians, he gave them milk. He gave them milk. He spoke to them about not going to court against one another, and he said that's milk. He said those who continue in sin, they'll not inherit the kingdom of God, and he said that is milk. He said drive out that sinner, that backslider, drive him away from you. I don't have fellowship with any unfruitful work of darkness. He said, all that is milk. And then he said, one man, one wife in chapter 7, he said, all that is milk. He said, you must not eat anything now that they have sacrificed to idols. He said, all that is milk. He said, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some of you do not have the knowledge of God. He said, all that is milk. He said, Christ is coming. He said, there will be the resurrection of the dead. He said, all that is milk. He said, when you gather together on the Lord's day, you will contribute and give what you have as the Lord has prospered you. He said, all that is milk. He said, the meat has not even come. I've given you the milk. So what are we giving to the people? What are you sharing with the people? Let's go and give them the milk that will support them. The milk that will sustain them, and the milk that will make them strong, and our converts will be strong in Jesus' name. But if you don't have any convert, who are you going to feed? If you don't have any convert, who are you going to follow up? You will not be barren. I will not be barren. My brother, I said you will not be barren. My sister, my daughter, I said you will not be barren. You will have converts. You follow up on the converts, and those converts will abide. When you get to heaven, because you are going to get to heaven. I said you are going to get to heaven. When the trumpet shall sound and the saints shall go marching in, I'll see you marching in. And then I see for the people following you, 1, 2, 3, 10, 20, 30, 100. And I said, who are these people? You say, they are the lambs and they are the sheep that God helped me to feed. You will succeed in the work of God.
Rise up and tell the Lord, I will. Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. And I'm going to feed the lambs. I'm going to feed the sheep. I'm going to feed the people of God. And your converts are going to be strong. Tell the Lord. Open your mouth and pray. It's not the time to, keep quiet and be thinking and meditating. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. And the strength of the Lord be your support in Jesus' name.